Right before eighth grade, I moved again. It was the sixth different city and the fourth different state and the fourth different grade school that I would attend. And the principal of the school taught an algebra class for a small group of the eighth graders, and somehow I found myself in this class. And the principal wanted to talk to me directly in her office. It was maybe the second week of school, maybe the third. And I was sure that she wanted to see me to let me know what a great addition I was to her school. Maybe pick out where the statue was going to be put of me and the little marker. Not that I thought highly of myself. I don't remember if she had me sit down or not. But this was not going to be a playful conversation. She wanted me to know in no uncertain terms that I was slacking in her algebra class and it would not be acceptable. That I either was going to start working in the class or I was going to be removed from the class. And then I was dismissed from her office. She knew that I could do the work. It wasn't an issue of my being unable to understand algebra at that time in my life. It had to do with my not wanting to work hard at it. Now, in the gospel, it's a million times more significant that the disciples, that's the ones to whom Jesus is speaking. So these are ones who are familiar with his teachings and who have witnessed his actions. And this is the great culmination of the sixth chapter of John's gospel. It's to the disciples that he's speaking. And they say, "Your ways are too hard." Let me put it another way. "Your ways are too inconvenient. I don't want to do them," or "we don't want to do them." The criticism wasn't that it was too complicated to understand, but it was too inconvenient for their lives. Even though their lives may have been mediocre or disappointing or unsatisfactory, they sadly choose in verse 66 to stop, literally the Greek is to stop walking with him. I think the translation of the New American Bible that we hear at Mass was that they stopped accompanying him or they stopped following him. It's really sad. And at that point in the story, gosh, is this going to be the end of the story? Because they're peeling off. One by one by one. Dozens and hundreds. This was a large crowd. And right when we think it's going to be lost and maybe this is a terrible end of the story, Jesus turns to the 12, we're told, and he asks a question. And he doesn't ask it sarcastically or with an edge. He doesn't say, "Well, what about you? Are you going to leave too?" That's not his attitude. Because his attitude is pure love outpouring. That the question is not judgment. The question is invitation and encouragement. And he says, "What about you? Are you going to leave too?" And it's a really dramatic moment. And it's Peter who speaks and he gives voice to the others. And he says, "Master, to whom shall we go? You alone have the words of eternal life." That there's no other way to eternal life. There's no other route to follow for the fullness of life. There's no other path to trod to find this meaning and satisfaction and purpose and fulfillment in life. But through Jesus and taking his ways to heart, as hard and as inconvenient as they are. I still find the sayings to be hard of Jesus and the teachings of his church. Some of them to be really hard at times, depending on what's happening in my life. And because of the challenge that they pose, I need help. I haven't cleared the pull of gravity. Where it's easy. In fact, nobody can honestly say that this side of heaven. Even the saints testify to the challenges that always exist. And I have found that one of the best ways for me to be emboldened in my efforts to live according to Jesus's demands and the demands of his church is to be connected with others who are trying to do the same. You're going to be learning more about this, teens, with time. But we're bringing to you, right here at Little Flower, a retreat team that hails from Minneapolis, St. Paul, Minnesota. Now, I want to tell you, I've been a priest 22 years, and I'm familiar with this movement of volunteers, these young people who travel the country to give on retreats. I have never heard of them coming to a parish before. They always come to Catholic high schools. And they're coming to Little Flower Catholic Parish on a Sunday in October to be able to help you and those whom you invite to come to understand more clearly the teachings of the Lord and to be less afraid in making them a part of your own daily living. I think of the adults here at Little Flower and how we similarly have brought a retreat movement. It's different in name and origin. It's called Acts Missions, and it hails from San Antonio, Texas, where many years ago, a parish, not unlike ours, said, these sayings are hard, and the culture seems to be against us. How can we find ourselves emboldened to live as Christ calls us to live? And Acts was formed. And over 650,000 people have made an Acts weekend, and countless lives have been touched, and the gospel has been proclaimed, and faith has been strengthened. And the next men's renewal weekend will be taking place in November, the women's in the spring. I just find that I have to take the effort to grow in my understanding and practice of the faith, that it doesn't come automatically or naturally. I don't want to be among the crowd who peels off because, Lord, it's just too inconvenient for my life. But instead, I want to echo the sentiment of Peter and be able to say, Lord, to whom shall we go? You alone have the words of eternal life. We believe and we are convinced. Even though we don't know how our lives are going to totally unfold, we believe and we are convinced that you, Lord, that you are the Holy One of God. Let's stand and with confidence profess the gift of faith that we have received.